This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Chad Holmes Show. I'm Pat Kreitel, filling in for that the guy with no voice that hopefully will get his golden tones back before real long. Heading into my fourth hour of broadcasting here this morning. It's like the Today Show. I feel like Hoda should be here or Jenna or somebody else can do this. I mean, if this is the fourth hour like the Today Show, I mean, we should get wine. We should be able to have that here too. But Ian Welsh does not have a bottle of wine here. He does have a board where he's allowing me to talk to you from here in Chippewa Falls. Ian, thanks for putting up with a little of the bench, a little of the B team to hear while Chad rests up.
You're welcome, Pat. You're doing a great job too.
Oh, well, thank you. See, I got that going for me. And folks, you only have...
I wish we had a bottle of wine, actually.
Well, I'm sure the listeners might be thinking that, too. But lucky you, you only have to put up with it for another 11 minutes, because then we're going to take a break. And after that, we're going to listen back to an interview that Mr. Holmes did with Mosinee junior basketball and softball standout Taylan Jerschley, who joined him last night on the Big High School Sports Show. That is coming up in the next segment here and for the rest of the hour here on the Chad Holmes Show. Meanwhile, for those folks who catch me weekday mornings on Up North News Radio from 6 to 8 here on 98.9 WXCO and across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app and on social media. Tomorrow, we have our regular Week in Review panel, so we will have journalists Mark Jacob, Jennifer Scholze, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, and then we'll also have Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil and Isabel Soissan talking about some of the national news of the week, and Dan Schumacher from up at Northland College in Ashland will help us talk about sports going into the weekend. We're in that in-between weekend for the Super Bowl, where we now know who the teams are, and the game isn't for another week. Ian, it has absolutely no relevance, no sense of suspense. We know who the teams are, you know, same teams going into the Super Bowl. Yep. And they're already releasing commercial. The Super Bowl commercials already coming out. Yeah, you've got Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan. Yeah, doing the Hellman's Mayo commercial in the deli, you know, from their movie from long ago.
Yep.
If the commercials are out, the teams are there. I'm not sensing that a lot of us are going to feel that national sense of community to tune in to the game.
I probably don't think so. I can imagine a lot of people are going to watch it, but you know, it's probably not going to be like a come together moment like it used to be.
Well, it was when it was like the only thing on, like the other networks would be showing reruns of some sort, but now with streaming, there's going to be all kinds of people that say, I have no interest in that whatsoever, and I'm going to binge on whatever. I've told everybody how we finally finished the series Shrinking on Apple TV with Harrison Ford, and now we've moved into Hacks with Gene Smart and really enjoy that. Maybe it's other people's chance to finally catch up on Ted Lasso or something like that. So we do have
There's always
that coming up.
To watch.
There's always something to at least try to experiment with, yeah, and see if you might like it. So anyway, also coming up here on Civic Media next time around, Jane Matinair on air, Greg Bach is normally there, and he's normally on my show as well, but he is on a well-deserved break. And so Angela Lang from Block in Milwaukee will be joining Jane Matinere as her guest co-host. And Angela is just wonderful, has done so much work to fight for better voter representation in the Milwaukee area and for all of us, frankly, for voting rights. And so I'm looking forward to hearing from Angela Lang on Matinere on Air coming up next. In the headlines, of course, you're aware by now that President Trump had tried this attempt to cut federal spending that was going for grants, loans, other things other than direct payments like Social Security checks and things like that. It blew up in his face, and he has since backed off of that. For now, there will always be some other way to try to suggest massive spending cuts. Well, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tried to come to his defense and put something up on Twitter about it. While this may have been a false alarm, you know, this time, here's the exact quote. Okay. If you think a temporary freeze is bad, wait until Congress is actually forced to balance the federal budget and cut trillions to save our nation and our kids from financial ruin. Biden's level of reckless spending has to be cut for our nation to survive. Oh, so says Robin Voss. And to the great credit of other people on social media talking about wasteful spending, Voss's post was immediately answered with multiple pictures of Michael Gableman, whose so-called investigation cost you, the Wisconsin taxpayer, at least $2 million and counting to investigate the lack of any fraud whatsoever in the 2020 election. Robin Voss has cost the state literally billions of dollars, not accepting the federal Medicaid funds that would provide more affordable, stable health care coverage to working families in Wisconsin. And in a whole host of other ways, Voss is not one to talk about being a good financial steward, shall we say. He and other Republicans tried to hit Governor Tony Evers last week after the State of the State address, criticizing him for taking credit for tax cuts that were put into place that Evers signed, saying that Evers was trying to take credit for their work. Well, the governor did note that it was bipartisanship that got the tax cut done. What he didn't say in quite so many words was that wasn't the actual Republican tax cut. What the Republicans passed would have been, as usual, much more weighted toward the very, very wealthy in Wisconsin. And Governor Evers was able, through line item vetoes, to get it closer to an actual middle-class tax cut. So while the original bill did not get much for Democratic votes, it was a Democratic governor who basically fixed their work and made it a tax cut that was more reachable for Wisconsin's middle class where it belonged. But Republicans in the legislature will continue working on a budget. They will continue working with a $4 billion surplus. They will continue to hear about the child care crisis, the chronically underfunded schools throughout Wisconsin that could be doing better if it weren't for Republican austerity budgets. So what are our legislators talking about then to try to improve the school situation in Wisconsin? Well, of course, many of them are for, you know, giving taxpayer dollars to private, often religious schools through a voucher program. And President Trump yesterday signed an executive order to try to do that with federal spending as well. But then you also had legislators proposing other things that they'd like to do in school. And it does not involve making right-size investments in our education. No. It involved requiring signs be put up in schools to say, "In God we trust." Oh. That should bring up test scores. You know, this is something that was proposed by Republican Senator Corey Tomchek of Mozenie, along with two other Republican members, who would require the displays to be on paper at least 11 by 14 inches. I'm thinking of Ted Lasso, you know, and the sign that says "Believe" mm-hmm. over the locker room.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's what's needed there as well. So that's the one bill that's out that they're trying to help with school, I guess. The other bill introduced by legislative Republicans, they say would protect children from gun violence. So what are we doing? Are we getting red flag laws? No. Are we getting waiting periods? No. More state funding for trigger locks? Probably not. No, this bill would allow more teachers to have loaded guns in our classrooms.
No, that's a horrible idea.
That idea comes from, again, Republican Senator Corey Tomchek of Mozenie and others. It would allow teachers with a gun license to carry firearms on campus if school boards adopt a policy saying it's allowed. So keep in mind how tough this is for a law enforcement officer who's trained. Now imagine a teacher in a chaotic situation where there are kids running everywhere, somebody shooting. You think you're going to get like some kind of a straight line at the shooter without it ricocheting and harming other kids? And if you have a straight line shot at this potential shooter, but you don't have your gun and he does, how quick a draw do you think you really are? That gun would have to be really accessible. And if it's really accessible, who's going to be able to get it? Kids at any time. I single this out every session as one of the single dumbest bills that any legislator could introduce. And here it is again, more loaded guns, Ian, in our classrooms. Doesn't strike me as an answer.
Having more guns is not the answer. We need to have more mental health programs for kids, which actually we have a place where if they're feeling these big feelings, like they're feeling anxious or depressed or angry, they have someone to talk to so they can work through these problems and not have to resort to violence or using guns. Having guns is not the answer. I'm not saying that getting rid of all.
Nobody's saying get rid of them. Either. Nobody's saying take your guns away. Much as they love saying that, that's what nobody's saying here.
Just
it's about investing in the mental health, right?
Ways to deal with the issue besides having guns.
And that's part of what Governor Evers was getting at in his State of the State, is that you can get at some of these root causes, which, again, won't stop everything, but you got to stop doing nothing. And that's what the governor was saying. Y'all got to stop doing nothing while our children are dying, as they did in Madison just not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thank you so much for letting me fill in for Chad a bit here. Chad, I hope you feel better really soon. Get that voice back. He did have a big high school sports show segment recently with Mozenie basketball and softball standout Taylen Jerschley. And that segment is coming up next for the rest of this hour. So I will see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. for Up North News Radio, right here on 98.9 WXCO. Thank you for your time. Have a wonderful Thursday. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Chad Holmes Show. This is Ian Welsh filling in for Chad Holmes. And last night, Chad and Jeff Grest were joined by Mozenie, a junior in basketball and softball, a standout, Taylen Jerschley, on the big high school sports show. And here is the first part of that conversation.
Our student athlete guest for this week, Taylen Jerschley, junior from Mozenie. Taylen, apologies for the voice, but thank you for coming in.
You're okay. Thanks for inviting me.
First of all, you're a three-sport athlete, volleyball, basketball, softball. How busy are you? I mean, because it just seems like there would be a lot on your plate addition to being a student, in addition to having friends and family. What's your life like with being a three-sport athlete?
I mean, definitely don't got much free time, but that's the way I like it. I'm working out all the time, doing all these sports practices, but that's how I like it. So,
do you have a you know, and no coaches can judge you. And we know, you know, we're talking off air, and we'll talk later about it, you know, colleges and what you pick. Do you have a favorite sport? Does one stand out more than the other?
Honestly,
or is it just what's in season?
It's just whatever season it is. That's what I like doing.
And how big a deal is it? How do they feed off each other? Because I can't imagine, like, when Chad alluded to that, to the busyness, it's just, you know, because it's nonstop. You're training constantly for different sports, different motions, different positions, and you're pulled with all the expectations of what teams and coaches want, as well as much as what you want to work on as your own game in the off season.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel that it's really difficult to balance all that, or is it something that just comes natural to you to do?
I mean, at times it gets a little. I mean, obviously, like, we were talking busy, but, like, I'm lucky I have trainers that during softball season, he gives me softball lifts that'll focus more on, like, throwing, and during basketball, he gives me more, like, in-season lifts to do, so it's really nice having people there to, like, guide me through it, I guess, and just help me with it all.
And do you ever look at those sports feeding into each other at all? I mean, one helps you, you know. We used to tell the basketball kids to go out for baseball if they couldn't catch, because they got to catch basketball. So do you find that those feed into each other pretty nicely, the way you like the three sports that you
play? Yeah, for sure. Not only, like, physicality, too, just, like, mentally, too, just the competitiveness of all three sports. It's just, you know, you're in pressured situations in some sports, so then the next sport, you know, you've been there before and you can do it.
Let's talk a little bit about the in-season right now. We'll talk about your other sports as well. But right now, basketball, and every time I look up, you're putting up great numbers for Mosinee. You gave some good battle against Lakeland.
Yeah.
Have not quite got over that hump. Had a 30-point effort I saw against Xavier just last week. How would you rate, number one, your basketball season and your team's season up to this point, with obviously a lot still to come?
Yeah, I mean, I think we started off the season really good, beating Shawano. We started off really good, and then we hit a little hump where we weren't on our best playing streaks, but we were starting to overcome it. We're just getting so many close games where they could really go either way, and we just got to get over that hump to just start beating these teams instead of losing by three, by two, and just... We're getting there.
Well, I imagine that is part of experience because, again, as I said before, you, your sister, not senior, still growing, I probably in learning as you continue. Is it just a matter of experience, or is there something else that you're looking at that would be able to get you over the hump?
I think we just keep working hard in practices. We're there every day, just giving it everything we got. And we got a really good group of girls who just come to the gym ready to work. And I think we're all very competitive, too, so that helps. We got a couple good leaders that just lead us through everything, and yeah.
Who are your leaders, by the way? Who do you look at as the leaders on your team right now?
Well, I'm a captain, and then we got one other senior that's a captain, but there's definitely some younger girls who are stepping up and knowing that they can lead too. It's not just a grade thing, like, they can lead too. So.
And who is that senior captain?
Britt Fitzgerald.
Always want to get that name out there.
And, you know, I think it's, you know, I don't know, sometimes looking back on it, how when I went to school, did these captains take it serious enough, or were they truly leaders? I mean, I think that's a big thing to be selected by your team to take that role on, and you can have quiet leaders as much as you can have impactful verbal leaders. For you yourself, how important is that role, and what do you try to do to emphasize that to your teammates, that, you know, whether it's your on-court leadership or side conversations you have or what you want to bring to practice? I guess how important is that role to you?
I mean, it's super cool when people, like, look to me for things. I mean, I try to do my best, lead by example, and hold myself to the same standards I'm holding my whole team to. So they all seem to, like, listen and everything pretty well, so...
Do you carry that into every other sport, too? Is that a goal here? Is you try to be the leader as much as you can?
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're talking to Taylan Gershley from Mosinee Junior for the Mosinee High School girls basketball team. Also plays volleyball and softball here on 98.9 WXCO. You are averaging about a little under 18 points per game so far this season. How would you describe your game? What is the strength of your game? What are the areas you're still trying to strive for? How would you describe yourself on the hardwood?
Oh, I mean, I'm a shooter. I like to shoot.
Nothing wrong with that. No. He was a shooter too.
Yeah. No, but my teammates do a really good job of driving and kicking it to me too, so then I can get those open looks, because now as we're getting deeper into the season, people know I like to shoot, so then they're trying to guard me tighter and stuff. So it's nice having people being able to create for me to help me get those open shots.
How with just the makeup of the conference a little bit, you know, you got some teams hanging at the top. Do you have a favorite opponent that you like to play now that you've done this for a lot? Because correct me if I'm wrong, you've been playing since you're a freshman, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So you've seen some of these teams, seen some of these girls, and
yeah,
it's old habit by now as a junior. Is there a certain opponent that you guys really, as a group, kind of get up for just because of the battles and the rivalries? Because I know there are some.
Yeah.
There's more than one maybe in that conference.
Yeah.
There's some heated battles. What do you
think?
Yeah,
for sure. Definitely Lakeland is definitely the top one we like to circle on our calendar, I guess. We're always up for that challenge, and I think this year was the first year we really believed we can do it, and I think it showed, but we fell short twice. But I mean, Medford's up there too. We like playing them. Rhinelander.
A lot of the top teams.
Yeah.
And we were talking off air a little bit about playing Lakeland, and you might get them a third time in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. With analyzing your team a little bit, you've seen them two times on the go-around. What does your team have to do in that third game to knock them off? Because on their end, too, it's hard to beat a team mm-hmm. three times also. It's not an easy thing. So what do you think you guys would have to do to knock them off if you got them in a head-to-head matchup in the playoffs down the road?
Yeah, I think offensively, our shots, not to be like, say excuses or whatever, but I don't think we've played our best offensively when we've played them. So, I mean, part of that is their defense. They play really good defense too. So, obviously, it's not just like, oh, we had a bad game. But I think we'll get our shots start to fall. And our defense, I think if we keep our defense the same, our defense is good against them. So,
more to come with Taylan Ajershui after an information update on 9.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back. We continue last night's big high school sports show discussion with Mosini Jr. Taylan Ajershui.
You held him under 50 both times, and I mean, you look at Christina Womet's numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she sometimes gets close to that amount on her own.
Yeah.
What's been the key for you to keep a very experienced, talented team under 50 points twice?
Yeah, we just really focused on, like, practices. We really focused on the defensive side of it. We knew, obviously, she's gonna get her baskets. That's how she is.
She's so tall.
Yeah, like, we knew that. So we can't get down after she scores. She's gonna make 30-foot threes. Like, that's how it goes. But we just gotta bounce right back, and we just gotta help hold her to her. I guess her, I don't even know how to say it, but like.
Keep her in check.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, don't let her explode.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
We'll talk more basketball. Let's talk some softball, because that's, I think, for lack of a better term, that's the one that you're going to move on and play at the next level. Mm-hmm. Your team made it to the state tournament a year ago. What was it like to play at state?
It was awesome. It was really cool, especially with the group of girls we had, too. Like, that made it even more special. We all were there to compete. We knew what we were there for. Yeah, it was a really awesome experience.
What position do you play, for folks who haven't seen you?
I'm a shortstop.
Yep. Your offensive numbers were terrific as well a year ago. When did you start? I imagine a lot of folks here in Central Wisconsin know the name and the baseball aspect of it. Could you, for those folks who aren't familiar with your family, can you talk about the family connections to some pretty significant jobs in the baseball world?
Yeah. I mean, my grandpa was third base coach of the Kansas City Royals. So when they when they went to the World Series and then when they won the World Series, we were actually at those games. So that was cool. It just, when from a young age, when you're like there, it just makes you want to play too. So that was, and then now my uncle is the third base coach for the Chicago White Sox. So
I was going to say, don't see too many White Sox jerseys, yeah. But it's good to be on the bottom floor when they rise up, right?
Yeah.
Well, and along those lines, you know, we've had Keegan on the show, and he talked a little bit about his, obviously talked about his sports adventure and what he enjoyed about high school sports. For you, you know, having your family involved, you know, say, I think it's neat to have an older sibling go through some things. You get to take along, you get to absorb it, you get to see the mistakes they make or the good things they do, and you can learn from it. And so I think it's a big deal to have that family dynamic. How important has that been to you, maybe all the extra higher level sports thing you've seen, as well as seeing the journey of some of your family members and now getting to live it out on your own? How important of an influence has that been, or hasn't it?
Yeah, for sure it has been. I mean, not only watching him, but like my brother's helped me so much with everything, and he obviously, like you said, he was through it all. So when I was like questioning something or anything, like he knew because he's been there, and so it's awesome to have him there to just help guide me.
When I was going to follow that up, because I love the family dynamics that can pop up in sports, whether coaches have their kids playing or siblings are on the same team. I think it's cool. Your younger sister's a freshman, right? Do you ever like pay it forward, take her under your wing? Or maybe you have that other relationship where you're always yelling at each other, but we'll get along on the court. We're going to take care of business. How's it been having your sister around?
Oh, it's awesome. I love it. We work so hard together. Off season, we're in the gym shooting. We're lifting together. We're playing catch together. We're doing everything together. So, I mean, that just helps us on the court, on the field too, just like with knowing each other. And it just helps so much. And we trust each other because we know how hard we work, and we're always going to be there for each other. So
to show your level of success on the softball diamond, you've already made a decision on where you're going to continue your academic and your softball careers. Where's that
going to
be?
I'm going to Northwestern University.
Big Ten Conference, wonderful academic institution as well. Why Northwestern?
Honestly, I went there on my visit, and it was awesome. Just the people, the coaches, it just felt like such a family. And I don't know, I just, their campus, I just loved it. But it was more about the people. Like, it was just, you went there, and I just knew, like, I knew it was, that's where I wanted to go, so.
And I know you're only a junior, so a lot of time to think about it can be undecided. Do you have any, like, classes that you take right now or insight to, like, when you start your major, what you want to do already? Or is that still well down the road, like, undecided, because it's pretty far yet?
Yeah. I don't really know what I want to do yet.
Do you have a favorite high school class that you enjoy right now?
I like math, but...
Well, of course, between your scoring and your batting average and your fielding percentage, you got to be good at math, right? Again, we're talking to Taylan Jerschle from Mosinee here on 98.9 WXCO. Let's step away, because obviously you are so busy with athletics. When you do have a little bit of free time, what do you like to do?
I just like to hang out with family. We go to my grandma and grandpa's cottage sometimes in the summer, and basically everything with family. I hang out with friends a couple times, but I just like to hang out with my family.
We haven't even mentioned volleyball. Is that just something because you love being involved? Because obviously we've seen you on the softball diamond, outstanding. We've seen you on the basketball court, outstanding. I have to admit, I'm not too familiar with the volleyball. How does volleyball fit into your athletics?
Honestly, I ran cross country my whole life. Freshman year, I ran cross country, and then I had a little incident where I like passed out twice. So I was like, it wasn't my top sport. Didn't want to ruin my other sports or risk doing
a message,
anything.
Right?
Yes. So I was like, why not try volleyball? So I mean, it's fun. I like being competitive, obviously. So it's definitely up there. Yeah.
You sound like you wouldn't know what to do if you weren't involved in a sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do all the I know, you know, a big thing about high school athletics, as much as it is in the competitive atmosphere of it, and what teams want to accomplish, and the conference champions getting down to state, all that stuff you want to do. I think it's so much so also the lifelong friendships you make and being around the people on your team. Do you have a lot of girls that do that, where they're crossing, you know, or you know, the volleyball, the basketball, the softball, they're all with you all the time, which makes a pretty big unbreakable bond, or is there your volleyball group and your basketball group and your softball group, or is it how's the dynamics of that as you go through your three sports throughout the season?
Volleyball and basketball are a lot of the same girls, so especially with them being back to back, we're all super close already, and it helps us definitely going from one season to the next, like staying in that little core group. But softball, there's not as many, but there's a couple, so it's nice. It helps us because we know how we play on the volleyball court. We know how we play on the basketball court. So I think it just builds those connections and helps us play well with each other.
I want to ask outside high school sports, because nowadays we see a lot of club sports. Mm-hmm. Are you involved in these sports outside of your high school season? It could maybe give a little peek in terms of the off seasons, what you do, because obviously when you're at the level you are, for softball especially, there's a lot outside the high school season itself. Could you give a little peek into what it's like outside the seasons?
Yeah, in the summer I play for JBA Clutch for softball, travel ball. And then I did play some AAU. It's hard to balance them because it's like we play softball almost every weekend. So it's like, and then basketball, I would just go the weekends I could. But I mean, this summer, knowing I wanted to get recruited for softball, I made softball like my priority for weekends and stuff. But
And I know there's a lot of travel involved. Where are some of the places that you've been able to travel to for some of these summer tournaments?
Yeah, we went to Colorado this past year. We go to Illinois, Indiana, just those places.
Get around.
Yeah.
And going back to your choice of Northwestern as a softball program and an academic institution, are they good when they're recruiting you at, like, are you going to, you know, obviously you must love shortstop and that's mm-hmm. the position you play. And are you going to get to continue in that spot? Do you have to come in at another spot and get back to that spot? Or do you know where you would stand at all? Or is there no, you know?
It honestly just depends. Yeah. It just depends on who they have at the time. But yeah, I got recruited as an infielder, so.
Okay. And you do look ahead. You know, I know you check it out and you get a vibe. When you do your college, you get a vibe for it. But you check records. Do you look at how they've done over there?
Yeah.
So how is Northwestern softball? I don't have any idea.
Yeah, they've been. They're 3-time Big Ten champs, okay. So that's impressive, yeah.
It's amazing. That's sort of. I love watching softball. I love when you have, because I'm able to broadcast, and I like watching like when the College World Series comes around. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how good those girls are.
Yeah.
How do you look at your game? What do you have to do between now and when you go to campus at Northwestern to be ready? Because, boy, I mean, again, when anybody watches the College World Series, sees the incredible level. What are you looking at in terms of improving your game to be ready to go when you get to Northwestern?
Yeah, I mean, I think as I just keep getting stronger, keep getting quicker, just focus on those things. And I think all the other skill work, I mean, I'm going to be working on my swing, working on my hands, working on everything. So I think just knowing like I'm going to be working on all that stuff helps prepare me for that.
And I guess looking forward to the end of the basketball season here, which, you know, could come up quicker than anybody wants. It just happens. But what do you, in looking at like just how your team stands right now, what's something that, hey, we're doing a solid job at this, I really like this, this is good about our team, kind of makes us dangerous? And then is there something else that you guys have to improve on to get as deep as you want to go in the short time that's left? So I guess one thing that you think is really strong with this team right now, one thing you want to improve on yet in the short time that till the end of the season.
Yeah, I think we're headed towards a good spot for us right now. Like we're playing these better teams, but we're starting to play better as a whole. I think at the beginning we had a really good run and then we fell apart, I think, a little bit. But I think we started to play not like selfish, but not just as a team as good as we can. But I think we're definitely playing as a team a lot better now, and I think we're on the rise to beat some of these good teams. So.
And you got Medford on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what are you going to see out of them, and what style of play are they going to play against you, from what you remember?
Well, just from past years, I know they're always better the second time we play them. They're always, I don't know if it's they're more prepared, I don't know, but they're always better the second time, so we can't go in thinking, oh, we beat them already. Like, we treat every competitor, like, we're going to lose. Like, we just got to be top-notch, I guess. But, yeah, I don't know. They kind of switched up from a man to a zone, so I guess we'll see.
And you got to go over there. Is there a place in the conference you don't like to play at all? Like, it's just, I remember when I played or when I coached, it's like, this is, student crowd's going to be on us for the first mistake we made. This is so loud, you can't vote.
Or half the lights are off.
Yeah, or something goofy. Or you hate the locker room, whatever it might be. Is there a place that, I'm just asking, I guess, if it's Medford, but is there a place that you is not crazy about playing, or does, you guys don't think about that anymore?
I don't really think about that. Not really, for me at least. I don't know.
Anything else?
No, I mean, you can go to the...
Well, to me, you know, obviously you got a lot of time left in your high school career. We usually ask this to seniors, but we're going to ask it to you because you have a sibling who you're playing with, a freshman. Because we usually ask, for somebody who is a freshman in your program, whether it's softball or basketball, based on what you've learned over the last couple of years, because you've obviously had an opportunity to play at the varsity level as a freshman, what piece of advice do you give somebody like your sister as a freshman as they start their journey through varsity athletics?
Yeah. I mean, I guess just sacrificing some things that some people don't want to sacrifice. Like, we know what we want to get, the level we want to get to. So I think just giving it everything you got and knowing that you're going to get rewarded in the end, and living just with no regrets. Like, you don't want to regret once you're done. So just playing with no regrets.
Fantastic.
And I do have one more.
Go for it.
One of the things we always stress too, which Chad and I talk about, is just the how important high school athletics is, just the whole picture of it. So for you, why are you, you know, you're very busy, you're involved in three sports. It gives you a great broad perspective, I think, on the important. Why are high school athletics important to you, or why is your time being on these high school teams a big deal?
I mean, I've talked about competitiveness a lot, but I think competitiveness, just like in life, that's just a good trait to have. Like, when something doesn't go your way, how are you going to respond? Are you going to sit there and pout, or are you going to like step up and like figure it out? So I think that's one big thing.
Life lessons, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure.
Taylan Jerschley, again, congrats on all the success you've had.
Thank you.
And I'm guessing we may get you back next year.
Perfect. Sounds good.
But best of luck the rest of the winter. Best of luck in the spring as well.
Thank you.
We're going to take a time out and come right back here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Chad Holmes Show, everybody. This is your producer and engineer, Ian Welsh, sitting in for Chad Holmes while he's resting his voice. Listen, I am so excited for this because I get to do this for the first time. Well, today is January 30th of 2025. It is day number 30 of this year, and there are 335 days remaining in the year. And there have been a number of famous events that have occurred on this date in history. Let's get started. All right, going all the way back to 1933, Adolf Hitler was sworn in as the Chancellor of Germany. I'm not sure that's a day we want to remember, but it's good to remember our history. On this day in 1969, the Beatles' last public performance was on the roof of Apple Records in London. The police had to, Police had to break up the impromptu concert, though, so that's unfortunate. On this day in 2003, Richard Reed, a British citizen and Al-Qaeda follower, was sentenced to life in prison by a federal judge in Boston for trying to blow up a transatlantic jetliner with explosives hidden in his shoes. On this day in 2020, the World Health Organization had declared COVID-19, a public health emergency of international concern. On this day in 2022, Howard Hessman, who played Dr. Johnny Fever on WKRP in Cincinnati, passed away at the age of 81. On this day in 2023, Cindy Williams of Laverne and Shirley died at the age of 75. And also in 2023, Lisa Loring, who played the original Wednesday Addams on the Addams Family, had died at age 64. And some famous people are also celebrating their birthday today. Actor Gene Hackman is 95 years old, a truly iconic actor. Actor Vanessa Redgrave is 88. Singer and a drummer for Genesis, Phil Collins, as Pat had mentioned earlier in the show, is 74, whose voice you hear on the music opening of this show for each hour. So I think that's a pretty good way to honor his birthday. Wayne Wilderson from the show Veep is 59. Actor Christian Bale is 51 years old. Actor Olivia Colman from Fleabag, The Crown, and The Bear is 51 as well. And actor Wilmer Valderrama from That 70s Show and The Ranch is 45. And if you out there are celebrating a special birthday as well, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio. We have a few special events being acknowledged today. It is Escape Day. It is Inane Answering Message Day. Not sure what that means, but it sounds interesting. It's also a Croissant Day, a school day of non-violence and peace. And this is a fun one. It's Yodel for Your Neighbors Day. So that's a few of the special events. And now we get to end the show with a very fun segment, our number of the day quiz. And for those of you that have been listening, I've been on a roll so far. I've gotten 3 out of 3 this week. And today is a big moment, because if I get this one right, I matched my personal best record of 4 out of 5, and I'm well on the way to getting 5 out of 5. But first, got to focus on this one. So here is the number for the day. It is about vehicles. And the question is, how many for-hire vehicles, like taxis, limos, Ubers, Ubers, etc., are there in New York City? All right. This is a big one. All right. The choices are A, 80,000, B, 120,000, or C, 160,000. So how many for-hire vehicles are there in the city of New York? Let's see, 80,000, 120,000. Well, New York's a big city, so okay, I gotta go with my gut here. All right. I'm gonna guess for hire vehicles, I'm gonna say there are 120,000. I'm going with B for this question. B is my final answer. I'm going for that. I'm locking it in.
Turn on the mic. Gonna hear my voice for the first time.
Yeah, it's on.
The correct answer is,
yeah,
120,000.
Yes, I matched my record. Oh, I'm so happy. I matched my record 4 out of 5, and now I have a chance to get 5 out of 5. But this is a cause for celebration. I'm so happy for this. First of all, I want to thank Pat Quirov for helping us out on the first hour of the show. And I want to thank our special guest from the Big High School Sports Show. We'll show Taylan Jerschley for joining us in the second hour. And hopefully Chad has his voice back by tomorrow. But have a great Thursday, everyone. Enjoy the beautiful sunshine and warmer temperatures. And hopefully Chad will see you tomorrow on the show. For now, I'm Ian Welsh. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.